Our text is Romans chapter 15 and verses 8 through 13. Romans 15, starting at verse 8. And let's hear the word of the Lord. Paul says, "For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name.' And again he says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him.' And again, Isaiah says, 'There shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope.' Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." May God bless his word. Please be seated. It is the plan of God to reach people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and to bring them all together with Israel into one voice and one people. Back in verse 6, the Apostle Paul speaks of this one accord, so that you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This text is one where Paul is speaking to the great working of God in bringing together Jew and Gentile into one people, and out of that the need to live together as one people in peace. And he is doing this because he's displaying that it has always, always been the plan of God to gather peoples from different lands and languages and backgrounds and tribes into one people with one voice. Ever since the fall of Adam, and even long before that, God had been planning to make a people for himself from the nations. Paul is revealing here that God has planned to do that through his promises to Israel, his chosen instrument. And Israel would be the way that God would then gather in all his people from the nations. Paul in verse 8 says of Christ that he has become a servant to the circumcision, that is, to Israel. That's just another way the scriptures speak of Israel, the circumcision, the Jewish people. Christ came first to the Jews. And Paul says, to show the truthfulness of God, on behalf of the truth of God. Paul is pointing us here to see God has displayed his trustworthiness as he called Abraham out from among the nations, as he made that unconditional promise and covenant with Abraham. Paul says that Christ became a servant to the circumcised. God promised to Abraham, Abraham who was just another guy in the land of Ur, no one special, nothing unique about Abraham. God sovereignly chose him, called him out, and said that he would unconditionally bless him, unconditionally make of him a great nation. And unconditionally, he said, he would through Abraham bless all the nations of the earth. Way back in Genesis chapter 12. And so God is demonstrating his truthfulness and his faithfulness, Paul is saying, by keeping that covenant. Even though it would be through unfaithful Israel for almost 1,800 years of unfaithfulness, God would be faithful. Israel was the heir to the covenant of Abraham. She was given then the covenant of Moses, the covenant of David. And yet she showed herself again and again to be a wayward bride. And yet God kept his covenant, displaying his truthfulness, despite Israel's failings. And so God came to the Jews first, Paul is revealing here, so that he would be true to his promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, the fathers, verse 8. The promises given to the fathers. In order that he might gather a people for himself from the nations. In order that, as Paul says, the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Paul's main point here is that Jew and Gentile are both together the glorious plan of God. That they would be together, one voice, glorifying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul drives this home again and again, where he continues to pull texts out. Therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing praise to your name. And then he goes again and again, verse 10. Rejoice, O Gentiles. And again, verse 11. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. And then he calls in Isaiah, verse 12. There shall come, says Isaiah, the root of Jesse, who will arise to rule over the Gentiles. In whom shall the Gentiles hope? This is God's great plan. It has always been. Paul's revealing his plan. To use the people of Israel to be the means by which salvation will come to every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. Paul is revealing here that the nations, which would be you and I as Gentiles, are not just an afterthought in the mind of God. We were, and the nations have been long ago planned before time began to be made into a people for God's own possession. God has always, always been planning to win the nations through the people of Israel. That the people, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. God has displayed his truthfulness. He has kept his promises to Israel so that the Gentiles, verse 9, will glorify God according to what God has said. Firmly embedded in that promise in Genesis chapter 12, where God came and said to Abraham, "It will be through you that I will bless all the nations." Firmly embedded there is a promise to the Gentiles. We make a huge mistake, beloved, if we just think of God reaching the nations as sort of an afterthought, or leftovers, or scraps that God throws. God's plan, beloved, has been to make Israel the apple of his eye, his chosen instrument. So that salvation comes to all nations. The power that Paul reveals here in this text is that God uses his promise, his covenant with Abraham, to reach those who are not sons of Abraham by birth. When God chose Israel, there was no slighting of the nations. There's no sense in which the Gentiles are just sort of thrown a bone by God. God not really caring that much. Just really caring about Israel. It's not as though the Gentiles are just the stepchildren of God. Not as though he's just reluctantly loved us and loved the nations. But Israel has been blessed that Jesus might be exalted over all gods and all kings and all lords, and that he might be worshipped among every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That Christ might be exalted in Ely, here among the Finns and the Swedes and the Ojibwa and the Norwegians and the Serbs and the Italians and the Africans and the Spanish and the Ukrainians and the Chinese and the Thai. Peoples whose languages and cultures and geography are unbelievably different. Almost unrecognizable on a human level from each other. Peoples who had formerly worshipped idols. God is calling now to worship the King in all his beauty. God is in our day gathering in the nations according to his promise to Abraham. He is doing it. He was doing it in Paul's day through this expansion of the church out of Jerusalem to Judea and to Samaria, and in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, it has gone out to places like Turkey and Greece and Italy and Spain and beyond. God was doing it then, and he's doing it today, beloved, in our day. He hasn't stopped. He hasn't slowed down. He's doing it in unexpected places, in Iran or Lebanon or northern Thailand. He is uniting people from every tribe under one Lord. One faith, one baptism. People from every language under a single, single message of the gospel. Causing people in all of these places to believe in one Christ. To confess with one voice, Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And beloved, you are part of that great work. We are part of that great work. Individually, you're part of the promise that God has brought to pass, the promise of Abraham. And together, as the body of Christ, here at Berean, we are part of that. Something that has been planned long ago by God. Do you know your names are included in the promise, the covenant God made with Abraham? Your names. God, when he promised to Abraham, did not make his promise to Abraham and thought he would fill the details in later. He wasn't going to just sort of see how things work out and then look to who might follow him. That covenant there in Genesis 12 wasn't written with blank spaces for the names to be filled in at a later date. No, as Christ spoke to Abraham, he had tribes and tongues and peoples with names and faces in that promise. We as a church are a part of that. You individually, and we together. And we've had a chance to be a part of this work in our day. God has used Berea, and he's using, continuing to use us in his glorious promise to Abraham. See, especially this past month through your support and prayers, as we've seen God take the message of Christ to a people who have not yet heard of Christ, as we were able to go again to Thailand and work with Todd and Karen in their ministry there. We, together with you, have been a part of that plan. A plan that has been set forth from the foundations of the world, that a people who have not yet heard will hear, and by God's grace might believe. Beloved, you are part of his plan to do that. Part of his plan to reach the Mapi people in northern Thailand. To bring them to be that part of that one voice. They are a people who have not yet heard the gospel. Until last year, when we were able to visit them in March and share the gospel with them. And we're not the only ones God is using. But he is using us here in that work. In his providence, God set that people before us several years ago as a burden to pray for them. We began to pray for them, along with others around the world. God put that people group in a registry of people groups known as the Joshua Project. You can find them online. It's a website dedicated to praying specifically for peoples who have not yet been reached with the good news of the gospel, not heard it, not been engaged with the gospel, have no church among them. The Joshua Project. And so we began to pray out of that, and in conjunction with Todd and Karen and their work there in Bangkok. And since we began to pray, God has been working. In that time, he set the Mapi people not only before us, but before the Water of Life Church there in Bangkok that Todd pastors. And together with them, we have been praying and seeking for ways to reach them. So, you know, last March, we were able to partner with their church and Karen Endahar and Noy, the Thai worker there with them, and myself made our first visit to the village, began to speak to them about Christ, as we shared with a village man named Bon and his sisters and family. As you know, we were well received by them back then. And God answered many of our prayers and your prayers then. And this time we had a second opportunity to visit. And God revealed to us that we were not alone in that work of reaching them. As we were preparing to go north to their village, we discovered just a few days prior that Bethlehem Baptist Church in the Twin Cities, where Todd and Karen are based out of, that they were providentially praying for this very people group, the week that we were planning to make our second trip there. And as most of you know, the enemy certainly didn't want to see this happen. And about a week before we were planning to go to make the visit, Noy, who is a motorcycle taxi driver in Bangkok, was stabbed in an altercation with some men. And we thought this was going to put an end to our visit, because we needed Noy. Noy was the only one who spoke Northern Thai the only one who could communicate with the Mapi. And yet God's work cannot be stopped with a knife. We saw the gospel won't bow to the weapons of this world. Noi got stitched up. And by God's grace, he was determined. He told the police as he was making his report that he had to get this settled in a day with them because he had a trip to make. And so he was determined with us to drive about 7 hours north to this village of Bandung, still sore from his wounds and a broken rib. And what a testimony it was to a persevering as well in ministry on his part. A persevering when it hurts, literally hurts. He reminded me a bit of Paul, who was stoned and miraculously survived and got back up and walked back into the village that stoned him. You know, God at times, beloved, calls us to, you could say, play hurt in the work of the kingdom. Something I learned at times in sports, that you need to learn to play hurt at times. You can't quit when things get hard or when things become painful. And how much more do we need to learn that truth in our work of building the church and preaching Christ to the nations? We must. We must at times, through God's grace and strength, play hurt, you could say. That is, we must learn endurance at times in the work of the kingdom when it would seem reasonable to quit or easier to give up. And so, we went again, empowered by the prayers of God's people who had their hearts enlivened to pray for this people. You here praying, others praying. And so God indeed gave an extra measure of grace to Noi. And we went up. And we realized along the way that God is so often doing far more than we have thought or expected or asked for in his grace. Our main trip was to go visit the Mapi group, and we traveled north, and we drove up, and we're going to stay a night before we went into the village at this somewhat remote jungle farm that had offered a bed and breakfast type of a stay. And then we would go on the next day into this village. And so as we got there, there was a woman there who was running it, and along with another man whose name was Mike, and her name was Alec, was wonderfully open to hearing the gospel. And so we sat for extended periods of time and listened to her story, and how she just told us of how she had rejected sort of the traditional Buddhism of Thailand, but she had begun to make up her own religious ideas involving all sorts of some Buddhism and some of her own thoughts. But as we sat around her outdoor kitchen, she was just very open to hearing the message of the gospel. And we connected with her over Facebook later and left her with a gospel tract. And it just said, again, how God is working in ways that we never expect. And we're so glad for that. When God promised to Abraham, he revealed the end of the promise, what he would do and what he would accomplish, but he never revealed to Abraham all of the means by which he would do that. He'd never revealed the exact means of reaching the nations with the message of the gospel. He didn't reveal the details. He didn't reveal all the efforts. He didn't reveal all the prayers and all the sufferings that would be required for the promise to come to pass. He didn't reveal how God would move in these unexpected ways to see it happen. So God is working in ways we do not see. He revealed this to us once again as we were able to meet with the Mapi people. In God's providence, we came into the village again, and as we drove past, we looked at the home, and there again was Bon and his family sitting where they sat outside last March. And we approached them again, and they again received us well, and we began to speak with them again. Noi speaking to them in Northern Thai, and so most of us just sitting and listening, not understanding all. And about halfway into our talk with Bon, he made the comment that his village made furniture and that we thought he was saying it was in the house next door where they were making the furniture, and there was a lot of pounding going on next door, and so we assumed that that was where it was. And so I was curious about it, and I asked if I could go next door and see what they were doing, you know, thinking they were making the furniture there, and he said it was okay. And so I, at the moment, was feeling like a bit of window dressing, not understanding much of the conversation, so I ventured next door just to look. And as I went next door, I found a large open area. The home next door was less than from here to there, so I walked across and in, and there was a large open space in the home. And there were two older women there, older Thai women who spoke no Thai and who were very friendly, but very, very shy, as Thai usually are, not wanting to try to speak to people who don't know Thai. And I looked, and I heard the pounding, and I saw a man in a back room who was demolishing a concrete counter, and so I was disappointed. There was no furniture making going on next door. And we later found out that Bon didn't mean that they were making furniture next door, but they were just making it somewhere else in the village. But yet, in God's providence, he directed my steps next door, and the older woman, one of the older women who were there, she went, and she went into another room, and then she brought out this young man and a young woman who spoke some English. And they had actually come back to the village from Bangkok for a visit and were there that day. The young man, his name was Mickey. That's Thai often have nicknames. That wasn't his real Thai name, but Mickey. And Mickey was from Bangkok. But the young woman, who his name was Som, was actually from the village. And she had gone to Bangkok to work, and she was now back on a short visit. And as I spoke with them, Karen and Diane could hear me speaking, and so they were curious, and they came next door, and we all began to speak to Mickey and Som, and Karen quickly found out that Som had actually studied in Bangkok at one of the English language schools associated with Todd and Karen's, and she had heard the gospel. We were amazed at how God was working through the prayers of God's people in ways we didn't expect. You need to understand, it's no small thing for a young girl from this village in northern Thailand that was unreached to find her way out of that village and down to a massive city of 15 million, and in that massive city find her way to a small English language school connected with the one run by Todd and Karen, where she would hear of Christ. And that God would bring her back to this village at the exact time that we were coming to visit. Oh, the depth of the riches, the wisdom, and the knowledge of God. What a remarkable providence. We had a good time visiting with them, and Karen, again, was able to get the young lady's information, and she continues to stay in touch and be connected with her. And so we pray in these things. Continue to pray, and we will see what the Lord appoints from all of this. Beloved, God is about so much more than we think to even ask for. And we are so thankful for that, because we're so prone to ask for too little. We don't know what God will do next, but we pray. We pray for him to continue to work in ways unknown to us and in ways through us. And so be glad and rejoice. For God is keeping his promise to Abraham in our day, and he is graciously doing it through us. And know that he has much yet to do. Much more than we have dared to ask or imagine. God's plan is to reach the nations, and it will happen. It will happen. He says, I will be exalted in Psalm 46. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It will happen. And it will happen by people in Ely, people here at Berean, praying that it will happen. And by praying for people actually by name even, such as Bon and Soam and Mickey and Alec and Mike and so many others that we were able to minister to as we taught English, being able to teach them of Jesus for the first time. People like Gunn and Own and Non, and so many others. God is going to move as we plead with him to move and act. He will do more than we have asked, for that is his nature to do so. He loves to give grace upon grace. He loves to do unexpected things. And so please, beloved, continue to ask. Ask him for the nations. Ask him for a specific people and places. And then expect that God will surprise you with far more than you've dared to ask for or imagine. Maybe God will call you to go to a people who have not yet heard, or who have no church to tell them, or maybe he will just call you to go to your neighbor who has not yet heard of Christ. Know, though, that he has appointed you. You are his means. He has appointed you, and he has appointed us together as the body of Christ to tell them, whether they are there or whether they are here, of Christ. And what a great privilege we have. What a great privilege not only to be purchased by Christ and made his own, but also to be appointed by God to tell those who have not yet heard. to know that he will, through us, reach the nations. He will be exalted. And he will be exalted through us simply being faithful to that message of the gospel. That message that says that when Jesus died, those who trust in him died with him. That he bore our sins. That when he was buried, those who have trusted him are buried with him. That when he was raised, those who have trusted him are raised with him. And so we believe that Jesus has both taken away our sins and given to us his very righteousness, and we proclaim that good news to a people who have not heard and who have yet to believe. We believe that he will come again to take us to be with him and to judge the living and the dead. And so as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, be reconciled to God. We persuade all men of all nations, of all languages, no matter their ethnicity, no matter their sin, repent and believe and live. We go to all peoples and say, come freely to the waters of life. As Paul says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Rejoice with one voice. Let's close with prayer. Father, You are a God who keeps your promises. You are a God who has never failed in what you have said you will do. Lord, we thank you that you have allowed us to be a part of your great promise of salvation. That you have redeemed us, Lord, who have put our faith in Christ alone. Lord, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have been written there, Lord, since the foundation of the world. And Father, we pray for those other sheep that you have, that you said you must bring in also from among the nations. Oh, Lord, use us in our day to be about that great work. Grant to us praying hearts. Grant to us, Lord, a ready witness of the message of the gospel. And, oh, Lord, we pray that you'd cause your word to run forth, Lord. May your spirit go and awaken many, Father, both here in this place, in this town, and in places, Lord, we have not yet been, and to a people, Lord, we do not yet know, but you do. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would continue, Lord Jesus, to build your church, knowing that the gates of hell cannot, will not prevail against it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you to stand as we sing in closing, as Aaron would come lead us in the doxology.